while you're giving in the offering. We're talking about honor this morning. This week, we celebrate our Independence Day, independence from England, the birth of our nation. We use words, kind of fancy words like freedom and liberty and independence and courage and sacrifice when we talk about our nation and those who have fought and even died to secure and to preserve that freedom and independence that we enjoy. And another word we use is the word honor. We talk about honoring our service people. We talk about honoring our flag. We do that because of what the flag stands for. It stands for those ideals of freedom and liberty and justice for all and equal rights and equal protection under the law for all the people of the United States. And those are ideals that are worthy of honor. This morning, as I said, we honored some folk who were deserving of honor, our veterans and those in active military service, and recognized them for their service and their sacrifice. We honor Pastor Brittany and Luke for their 10 years of faithful and dedicated service to the Lord and His church and our children at Carbondale. And so we honor ideas and ideals, I-D-E-A-L-S, and we honor people for what they've done. What does that mean to honor someone? Honor means to fix value upon, to prize, to esteem highly, to revere, to respect. A good way to explain this, in the Old Testament, the word translated as honor is from the Hebrew word that meant weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight. We even talk about God's presence and the weightiness of His presence, the heaviness of His presence. So we use that when we talk about, sometimes we say, well, you know, that person carries a lot of weight around here. Well, we're not talking about what happens when they get on the scales, all right? We're talking about significance or importance. Well, that guy carries a lot of weight, meaning he has authority. There's a certain level of respect that's demanded there. Our attention, our tribute, our honor goes to them. They have weight among us. They carry a lot of weight. We place high value upon them or upon the contribution they make to us in our lives. It can also be honor and tribute paid not to a particular person, but to the office that they hold. So, for instance, we honor the office of the President of the United States, regardless of who sits in that office, but we honor the office of the President. We honor those in the military. It's not about the person in that uniform. What we're snapping to attention to is the brass on the shoulder, right, or the stripes on the arm or whatever, that we're honoring then that office that they hold. We honor the office of a pastor or a parent or a teacher or whatever. And so even if the person in the office is less than honorable, or if the decisions that they make at times are not exactly honorable, the office they hold is to be honored. It carries weight, and we're to respect the place of authority it holds in our life and in our culture and society. Paul speaks of showing honor to the governing authorities in Romans 13. That whole chapter, or a good bit of that chapter, kind of focuses on government and those that God has placed in places of authority within the government. And you say, well, you know what? I can't honor those people because they're not very honorable. Well, think about it. Paul's writing this to the Romans, and he's going to be put to death by a Roman emperor who was not exactly honorable. In fact, they were very, very corrupt and wicked and evil. And yet he's talking about honoring those that God has placed. He says the authorities that exist have been established and put in place by God for a purpose, and that is to slow the spread of evil, or to calm that down, and to protect those who are innocent, those who do good. And within that social and political context, then Paul writes, give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay your taxes. If you owe revenue, pay revenue. If you respect, then give respect. If honor, then honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. So to whom are we to show honor? Who does the Bible say we're to honor? So let me run through some folk this morning in the next 25 minutes. So first of all, the Bible says we're to honor our parents. It's pretty plain to us in the Bible. In fact, it made God's top 10 list, right? Top 10 things we're to do. One of them was to honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord is going to give you. Paul quotes this passage in Ephesians chapter 6 in the New Testament and says, this is the first commandment with a promise. He says, honor your father and mother that you may have long life. My mom used to quote that to me. It was just a little gentle reminder of, you know, honor your father and mother. It kind of prefaced, take the trash out, pick up your room and stop, you know, fighting with your brother. Honor your father and mother that it'll go well with you, that you'll have long life. And so I learned that I was to honor my mom and dad. How do we do that? How do we honor our parents? We do it by showing them respect. We do that by doing what they tell us to do. We recognize and bestow value upon them and the position they hold in our life. We recognize how important they are. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your mom and dad. Not only that they put you in the car and brought you to Sunday school and church this morning, but you wouldn't be born if it wasn't for your mom and dad, right? You wouldn't be here if mom and dad hadn't chose you and picked you out and brought you in the world. And as a wise old man said, I brought you in this world, I can take you out and make another one just like you or whatever. So, don't do that. But anyway, so we recognize that mom and dad, they're responsible for us being here. They've sacrificed so that we had clothes to put on this morning and we could argue with them about which shoes we were going to wear. It's because they gave us multiple pairs of shoes in our closet or something else, whatever. They've sacrificed to provide for us. So honor them. Honor them in your actions by doing what they ask of you. Here's a little tip for you, kids and teenagers and children both. Try doing what you know your mom and dad want you to do before they even have to ask you. It'll just freak your parents out. They won't know what happened if you get up in the morning and make your bed and pick up your room without them having to say, I've told you 13 times to get in there and do that. It'll just blow their mind. And so just, try that. Or try not picking on your brother or sister for a day. Like, mom, I wanted to show you that I'm honoring my parents, and I helped her, and I didn't, whatever. So my brother and I, we were old, you know, we were back in the Three Stooges days. Woo-woo-woo-woo. So we were, there was a lot of eye poking and head slapping going on in our house. We're like, no, don't be doing that. Anyway, so be kind to your brother and sister, all right? And show your mom and dad. It's a way that you honor mom and dad by doing those things they tell you to do, by honoring them. Honor them by the way you talk to them, right? To show respect to mom and dad. Yes, sir, and no, you know, no, ma'am, whatever. Honor the way you talk about them to other people. I always respected when I talked to other people about my parents. They were worthy of my honor and respect, and so I always spoke highly. Show respect for your parents and grandparents and elders. And it's not just for children, certainly teenagers or whatever, but there's no age limit placed on that commandment. Honor your parents when you're a child. Honor your parents when you're a teenager, but honor them when you're in your 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s, 70s if you live so long and your parents do too. Speak well of them. Treat them as you would want to be treated. You're going to be that old someday. And so be patient with them and be kind to them. Show respect to them. And when you say, well, you know what? My parents, they haven't exactly lived honorable lives. Well, maybe you can't honor their actions, but you can honor the place and the importance of parents in your life. And if a parent doesn't know Jesus and they're telling you to do something that you know is not pleasing to God or that's contrary to the Word of God, you can't sin and say, well, my dad told me I had to do that or whatever, but you can still find an honorable way to refuse. You can find a way to appeal to them. You can find a way to treat your parents honorably. It's what he calls us to do. Then the Bible says we're to honor all those in authority. We've already mentioned from the passage in Romans that we're to show honor and respect to those who have authority over us. So we honor the office of the president, regardless of who occupies the office, or whether we like the person or not, or whether we think they're honorable or not, or them or their party. It's right for us to honor the office. And it's not just the office of the president. It's the office of the Speaker of the House, and the President Pro Tem of the Senate, and the governor, and the mayor, and those in authority. We're to honor the office. I quoted it a moment ago, but Paul writes in Romans 13, the authorities that exist have been established by God, and this is why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. We'd go down the list and some of us would go, that's none of God's servants right there or whatever. But he says those who are in authority, God has placed them there to administrate justice. That goes for judges and all the other. In fact, think about that. What do you call a judge when you're talking to him? We say, Your Honor. It's not just about the person wearing the robe, but it's the way we're acknowledging that God has placed those people in authority over us, and we are to respect them and to show honor. So we honor those in government, but how about others that are in authority over us? If you're a student, honor your teachers. If you play sports, honor your coach. Honor the ref, the umpire, right? The officials, we've got some, right? Yeah, a little respect. Moms and dads, honor the guy with the whistle on the court, right, Aaron? So, yeah, we're supposed to honor those people. If you're an employee, honor your boss or manager. You say, well, but my boss is just a, yeah. My boss just doesn't know. You know, he just doesn't, well, you know what? Maybe someday God wants to put you in that place to be a manager or to be a boss. But in order for you to be able to be in a place of authority, you have to learn how to be under authority, right? So Jesus said, whoever wants to be the greatest in the kingdom must first be the servant of all. You have to learn how to be in a place of servanthood so you can then be in a place of authority. That's going to benefit you well down the road. Honor those that God's placed in authority in your life. Show them honor. Then here's the next one. Honor your pastors and the church leaders, the elders in the church. Paul writes to Timothy, the elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. We did well, you did well, by honoring Pastor Brittany and Luke this morning. And I always feel a little awkward talking about honoring pastors when I am one. And if you've been here for 40 years like me, you haven't heard me say anything like this, not very often. But it is what the Bible says. And in the sermon, then, I need to tell you what the Bible says about this. I can tell you there's a big responsibility that goes with being the pastor of a church or part of a church staff. And I can tell you in 2019, it's a weird day to be a pastor. All this has changed. I can still remember Mike French is here this morning. Nice to see you, Michael. And I remember Mike French and I sitting at lunch one day with Armin Newbern at Ike's. You that knew Brother Newbern are not surprised that we went to Ike's for a bowl of chili. And we said, what kind of advice would you give to some younger guys, you know, that are pastoring or whatever? And Brother Newbern said, I wouldn't begin to give advice to guys that are starting out and pastoring now, because it's just such a different day. It's a different day and age or whatever. It is. And so it's a challenge for those who are part of the pastoral staff. You see us on Sunday and Wednesday, you know, people used to joke like, what's the deal? You only work 2 days, you know, right? 2 hours a week, right? Sunday morning for an hour and Wednesday night or whatever. And you all know that's not the truth. But you see us on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday. What you don't see is the work that goes on behind the scenes. And what you don't see is the hours spent in prayer and study and preparation, or the ministry that goes on at all hours in other places where we're trying our best to serve the community and to serve the church. And what no one sees is the weight of the spiritual burden that rests on the pastors as we do our best to lead and shepherd the people of God. The Apostle Paul understood what I'm talking about when he said, besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. He said, who is weak and I don't feel weak? Who's led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? In other words, he was saying, and I'm saying, that we feel the weight and responsibility of the spiritual needs and the spiritual destiny of the church and the community and of all the people to whom we are called to serve. We feel the burden of trying to share truth and lead people in the right way, to speak in a way that's truthful and yet, you know, that our words are full of grace and seasoned with salt, as Paul says. We're trying to speak the truth and realizing the needs of a variety of people and different cultures and different generations that are gathered on any typical Sunday, and the fact that folks are watching at home today as we live stream the service. So we feel the pain of people when they make wrong choices and go the wrong way after we've done everything we can to help them make right choices and to follow Jesus. And you pour into the lives of children and youth and adults, and then sometimes you watch them walk away from the Lord, or you watch them turn away from the church, or we sacrifice and do all we can, and then you get, you know, that letter that says, well, I'm just not being fed here. And that's the famous line from Adam, just not being fed. And then you find out they went to a church where all they're serving is fried Twinkies every Sunday. That's what they're getting, spiritual fried Twinkies and Snickers. And I'm thinking, what in the world? But anyway, it's just kind of how it goes. And every pastor knows the heartbreak of that and understands the weight of it. And ultimately, it's kind of that feeling of I'm responsible somehow or another. And you wait on God and you pray and you hope you've heard from heaven and you're saying and doing what you feel like God's told you to do, and you realize you answer to a congregation and their need and their hunger, but you also answer to God. And you do that at every level, whether you're the guy that stands up here and preaches, or whether you're teaching a class, or whether you're leading worship or directing the choir, whatever. We all feel that if there is that spiritual calling upon your life working in a church. And so what I'm trying to tell you today is the pastoral staff of this church and those that cry and pray and labor for you and your family, and the deacons and the elders and spiritual leaders of this church that sacrifice of their time and give of their time and effort for the sake of the church, and the Sunday school teachers and the youth workers and the nursery workers and the children workers and the volunteers, together they are worthy of our respect and our honor, even double honor, because that's what the Bible says, and that just is the reality for all those who labor here among us. And so we're to honor the spiritual leaders of the church. And then I think we're to honor ourselves. You say, well, does the Bible say to honor yourself? Well, let me tell you what I'm talking about here. The Bible says of us, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. The psalmist writes that in Psalm 8. The writer of Hebrews quotes that passage from the psalm in Hebrews chapter 2, I think it is. Well, God bestowed honor and value and worth upon every one of us when he created us in his image. We are created in the image of God. You have value. Every child, every grown-up, every person on the planet has value and is to be honored in that sense. You have value. You're worthy of honor because you're God's creation. That's why it matters then how you choose to live your life, how you treat yourself, how you treat your physical body, and how you allow others to treat you. What I'm telling you is, don't allow yourself to be abused. Don't dishonor yourself by the choices you make. Don't surrender your body to drugs and alcohol and abusive habits and sin and immorality. Here's what the Bible says. Paul writes, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you and whom you've received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Honor God with your physical body, with your physical choices. Honor yourself by choosing to live according to God's word. Respect your body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, and show honor to your body by saying no to immorality and sin. It always just breaks my heart. I see, you know, teenage kiddos out dating or whatever, and I see some guy mistreating the way he talks to a girl or whatever, and I just want to kind of shake him and then kind of gently shake her and say, you know what? God's got something better for you than that guy right there, all right? God's got something. Don't settle for some bum that doesn't love God and that's talking the way he's talking to you. You know what? Honor yourself and honor your body. Honor the choices that you make. That may be, anyway, make godly, holy choices. Amen? Can we say amen to that? It's what the Bible tells us to do, to honor our physical body. Honor God with your body. And then the next thing is to honor one another. Because we've been created by God in his image, we're to show honor to one another. And then because we've been redeemed by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, then not only are we his creation, now we are his possession and his children. We've been bought with the price of his own blood. We've been adopted into the family through our faith in Jesus Christ. And now the Bible says that as members of his church, we are heirs of God. We are his children, and that makes us brothers and sisters together in the family of God. So I can't dishonor you because you're God's child and you're my brother, you're my sister. And so I want to honor you in the way I speak, in the way I talk to you, the things that I say and the things that I do. We're to honor one another because we're all in the family of God together. The English Standard Translation of Romans 12 verse 10 reads this way: "Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Outdo one another in showing honor to one another. Go beyond in showing love and honor to someone today. I'm talking about the kids or whatever, to shock your parents by cleaning up your room. shock them, give them another little jolt there by showing honor to your siblings, by showing honor to your brother and sister, all right? To show respect, to say, "Man, I'm so glad you're my sister." You know, give a little thing there. Anyway, love one another. See who can win the competition of showing the most love and honor to everybody in the family. Go out of your way to do it. Go out of your way in showing honor to someone today. Somebody in this church. Thank that nursery worker that took care of your infant or toddler so you could be in here during service today. Thank a children's worker, a youth sponsor that's going to camp this week. Thank you for doing that. Honor a choir member that sang. Travis Carr that played the bagpipe today. Man, Tim, what a great job. I love that today. So thank somebody. To honor a veteran today. Show honor to those on Wednesday night that get here early and they serve you that meal or whatever. Show honor to those people. Send a note to someone thanking them for what they said or what they did or how you encourage you. Thank your Sunday school teacher, not just because they got up and talked for 40 minutes, but because they put hours of preparation into that so they would know the material and be able to encourage you in your spiritual life. Go out of your way to show honor to somebody today. Somewhere, you know, a lot of you are going to go out to lunch today, and whether that's fast food or you got somebody that's carrying 15 plates on their arms of, you know, hot whatever they're serving there, honor them, would you? They've been putting food out there, and they're dealing with the church crowd, you know, and there's in every church there's somebody that leaves 35 cents on a tract that says, "Here's a little tip for the waitress, you need to know Jesus," and whatever. Well, thank you very much, but put a $10 bill down there if you're going to leave them a tract or whatever. Be kind and generous. Show honor to those people that are working hard today. Show honor to those people that had to work today instead of being in church. Show honor. Go out of your way. Go beyond. Outdo one another in showing honor to other people. Let them know how you value them. Family members, your spouse, your kids, your grandkids, grandma and grandpa, church members, friends, employees, especially fellow believers and followers of Christ. Love one another and show honor to one another. You have the power to bless and to bestow honor and value on others if you'll just do it. Find a way to show honor to someone today. And then here's the final thing. Honor the Lord. Above all else, the Lord, our God, is worthy of our honor and our love, our service, our praise, our devotion, our everything. Honor the Father who gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but could have eternal life. Honor the one who willingly gave himself for us when we were still dead in our trespasses and sins. He gave himself so we could be forgiven and have eternal life. The one God, eternally existent as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, honor him, for he is worthy of our honor, our devotion, our love, and our praise. When we honor God with our actions and with our life and with our worship, with our everything, we're mirroring here on earth what's already happening in heaven. For John was given a glimpse in the Revelation to see worship offered in heaven. And he said in a loud voice, they sang, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and forever." He is worthy of honor and worthy of our praise this morning. Sure, we can applaud that today. He's worthy of honor and worthy of praise. Now, we get a warning from Scripture about that, about how do we show him the honor that he's due, because through the prophet Isaiah, the Lord said, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You see, it's not just with our lips or even with our hands just then that we honor him, but it's with the actions and the surrender, the motive and intent of our heart. It's the way we choose to live our lives. And we dishonor him when we say, "Oh, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus," but then we freely allow sin to dominate our lives. We dishonor him when we live as we choose, rather than living a life that's surrendered to and pleasing to Jesus and that honors his word. We dishonor him, according to John's epistle, when we say, oh, I love Jesus with all my heart, but then we treat our brothers and sisters, we lie to them or we treat them with disdain or whatever. So that John says, how is this possible? You say you love God whom you've not seen, but you hate your brother whom you have seen. He says, this can't be. This is not right. How do we honor God? We honor God by honoring our brothers and sisters. We honor God by serving the Lord and being obedient to him. Remember that verse again from 1 Corinthians 6, you're not your own, you were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So what I'm saying to us this morning as we wrap it up, let's honor God with our choices, with our bodies, and with our words, and with our actions, and with our hands and our feet and our eyes and our ears, with our whole hearts and whole lives surrendered to him. And when we're surrendered to him and honoring him, I believe it's going to come much easier and be natural for us to honor those around us. We recognize not only do we belong to him, but so do they. And he wants us to honor others by our choices and our actions. He wants to use us to bless others, and in so doing, we'll point others to Jesus. Love one another, Paul said, and try to outdo one another in showing honor. So let me wrap it up with asking you some questions. Honor to whom honor is due. And so is there someone in your life that you should be honoring, but when you stop and examine your heart and your life, you think, you know what, I haven't exactly been acting in honorable ways towards that person? Well, if that's the case, what can you do to change that and to begin to show them honor? How can you best show honor to your parents? How can you best show honor to that person that's in authority over you, a teacher, a coach, a mentor, an elder in your life? How can you best show honor to a spiritual elder in your life, a pastor, your youth pastor, a children's pastor? How can you show honor to others around you? If you're married, are you honoring your husband? Are you honoring your wife? Are you honoring them with your words, your actions? Are you honoring them the way you respond to them? Are you honoring them the way you talk about them as well as the way you talk to them? Are you honorable? And what about your relationship with God? Are you honoring the Lord with only your lips? Or are you truly honoring him with your life, your body, your choices? Is there some area of your life that you need to adjust, you need to change? Are you living an honorable life? It's about honoring what is honorable. Are you living an honorable life? Are you living in such a way so that when you come to the end of the journey, others are going to say, he lived an honorable life. She lived a life worthy of honor and worthy of tribute. Are you living in such a way that you're honoring God and others with your choices? We're called to live honorable lives. And I'm asking that we just examine our hearts for a moment this morning. And then decide, Lord, if there are areas of my life that I need to change, if there's someone that I need to show honor to, maybe the Lord will bring someone to your mind, to your remembrance. And you think, you know what, maybe we'd kind of gotten out of sorts or we'd gotten out of touch. But when you stop to realize and think back, you realize that person made a huge contribution in my life. I need to honor them. I need to let them know how valuable they were in my life. Maybe there's somebody you just need an email or a Facebook message or whatever to be able to say, I want to honor you today because of the difference you made in my life. At a moment in my life when my mom and dad weren't there or somebody else wasn't there, you were there for me and I honor you for what you did in my life. Is there somebody like that? Let's honor one another. Would you stand this morning and we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you have honored us with your presence today. And that you've honored us by giving yourself for us, that we might have eternal life through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you call us then to live honorable lives, to live holy lives, to live and to make choices that are pleasing to you. You call us to honor our father and mother, that it'll go well with us. You call us to honor those in authority, those in government and offices of authority over us, teachers and leaders, coaches and mentors, bosses and managers. You call us to honor our pastors and spiritual leaders in our life. And Lord, there are many. For most of us, Lord, we could number all kinds of people, teachers and pastors and youth pastors and others that have spoken into our life, that have led us and guided us, that made a difference. I pray you'll help us, Lord, to find ways to honor those. I pray, Lord, you'll speak in our heart this morning if we're not living an honorable life, if we're not honoring our own flesh and body by some of the choices we're making. Maybe there's addiction. There's a sin somewhere in our life, maybe immorality of some kind. And Lord, we need to make that choice. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, and we can choose then to surrender our lives to you so we can live in and walk in that freedom, and we can live honorable lives. Help us, Lord, to make wise choices so we can honor others, our own fleshly brothers and sisters in a family, or honor our parents, but also to honor the brothers and sisters in our church, to honor those that we work with, those that we go to school with, the kids we'll be at camp with this week, those that we're going to be with this week, that we'll continue to make godly choices and we'll encourage others to make godly choices. We'll be honoring to our friends when we do that, and most of all, we'll be honoring to God when we make those choices. Help us, Lord, to be men and women of honor, students of honor, the way we live, the way we honor you, the way we treat one another. Let it make a difference as we live lives pleasing to you. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you can pinpoint areas of our life where we may need to make some adjustments. And in so doing, others will see our good works, as Jesus said, and will praise the Father in heaven. Help us to be people of honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Hold steady just a minute. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The promises of the Lord are extended to those who live lives of honor and who are faithful in all their ways. And the Lord calls this body to acknowledge that and to show honor to the Lord himself and to show honor to the presence of the Holy Spirit that works in and through and among you and to show honors to the members of the body of Christ and those around you. In a world full of anger and disunity and dishonor, be the people of God, called to honor, called to live lives of honor, and in so doing, you'll bring honor to the King of Kings. Let it be, Lord, for us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's live lives of honor today, and let's honor the King. God bless you.